Good morning. It's a blessing to be here this morning. Appreciate the worship. Jesus Messiah, the light of the world. What a blessing. Jesus Messiah. Also appreciated the devotional this morning as well. How easy is it to be partial towards others, especially as we meet a popular man by our standards, to look at him differently than we do a poor beggar or somebody that's out in the streets that's on drugs and alcohol and those things. How easy it is to shy away from those people and then assemble ourselves with ones that have it all together, so to speak. But I appreciate the challenge, Mel, to not be partial. My thoughts also went to Matthew 25, where Jesus gives the illustration that... Let me just find that. So Matthew 25 says, "For I was a hungered," verse 34. "Then shall the king say unto them that on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of the Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you and from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger and fed thee, or thirsty and give you drink? Or saw thee a stranger and took ye in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto him, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Inasmuch as we have done it to the least of these, we have done it unto Jesus Christ. And reading this, it almost seems like it was a lifestyle. They did it out of love that they had for Christ, or that it's just an overflow that came out of them. They just did it to a point that they even didn't recognize that they were doing it. Said, because the answer said, when did we do this? When did we see you naked and clothed ye, sick and visited the stranger, took thee in? Like, when did we see all these things? But they said, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And then the other is true as well. With those that do not do them shall be, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, you visited me not. Then shall you answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? And he said, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not unto me. And these shall go into eternal punishment, but the righteous unto life everlasting, life eternal. The contrast, and I trust that each of our desires is to walk in the Spirit in that way. Also, just appreciate the challenge of being here on time. I know it's so easy to get caught up, sleep in a little later Sunday mornings, and then the time gets away from you. So I received that challenge, brother. So walk in the light as He, Jesus, is the light. Appreciate, again, the worship. Jesus Messiah, the light of the world. So we walk in the light as Jesus is in the light. First, I want to recap a little bit from the message last time. which we had talked about being thirsty for the living waters, the Word of God. And a couple points was Jesus is the living waters. And the encouragement to seek the Lord while he is fine. For now is the day of salvation. Someday it will be too late. When God closed the door to the ark, it was too late. Either you were on the inside or the outside, and you knew it, and you made that choice. But Jesus is the living water. Jesus is the shepherd, the door to the sheep. Jesus is the Word. So may we continue as we read the Word, have that in front of us, that we're reading about Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Word. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. In him was light, and the light was the light of men, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. 1 John 1:5, going to read in the New King James. This is the message that we had heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. But the key verse is verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. It's interesting, the fellowship we have with one another. We can, as we meet other Christians, there's just that instant communion or that fellowship that we can have with each other, even though we may have never met him before. But because of walking in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. So what comes to your mind when you think about walking in the light? How do we flesh that out? How do we walk in the light? Being open. Amen. As we're open, one with another. As he is in light. So the touchstone is Jesus Christ. He is the light. And as we walk in him, we walk in the light. Appreciate that. So what is light? Yeah, you would probably know that being an electrician, right? Dark building, and you turn that switch on, and it floods the room, and darkness flees, right? Uh-huh. Yeah. So how do we walk in the light? So our lives are an open book, right? Everything we have, everything we do, it's not a secret. And why would we walk, or why do we light light? Freedom? Clarity? We're able to see, yeah. Amen. Condemnation in darkness. There's peace in the light. And the opposite, what is darkness? Why don't we like living in darkness? Why don't we like living underground in a deep, dark cave where there's no light? Why do we tend to be drawn to the light instead of drawn to the darkness? Mm-hmm. There's more fear in darkness.
Mm-hmm. I think in John 3, after the famous verse, John 3:16, further on says, "For everyone that doeth evil will give up the light, neither coming to the light, lest his deeds be the truth."
Mm-hmm. So we walk in darkness, we don't light the light, because if we come to the light, then the evil deeds we do get exposed. Darkness takes a toll on our physical bodies. Because mm-hmm. we're made to be in the light, right? Mm-hmm. So how do we know? What is our touchstone to be sure that we're walking in light versus darkness? So how do we know that we're walking in the light? What is our touchstone? We welcome conviction. Mm-hmm. We don't try to hide. Mm-hmm. We have fellowship one with another. That's a touchstone to know that we're walking the light, because we connect one with another.
Mm-hmm. We feel peace instead of anxiety. Mm-hmm.
What's that? Mm-hmm. As we do what he commands us, we walk in the light. Mm-hmm. So Aaron Harris, when he was here for the weekend meetings, he gave the illustration, the one message about being plugged to the source. As long as the extension cord was not plugged in the outlet, the light bulb gave no light. But as it was plugged into the outlet, the light was bright. So likewise, as we are connected to the source, we get light from the source, not from ourselves. John 8:12 says, "And Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So as we follow Jesus Christ, we shall not walk in darkness, but we have the light of life. As I was thinking about that, I was trying to imagine walking in pitch darkness, like maybe way out back in a deep, dark cave where no light can even filter in. And there's stones jutting up, there's snares. and that are put there to trip you up. But as you're trying to find your way in that darkness, it's difficult because the tendency is that you will fall because of all the hidden objects that are protruding out of the floor, out of the walls. And just imagining walking in that and stumbling and falling, getting back up, stumbling and falling, but because you can't see where you're going. Then what a difference it is when there's plenty of light, when you can see all the obstacles that are in the path. You can just smoothly step around them and keep going. Psalms 119 says, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Thy word is a lamp to my feet. Just like a lamp that's attached to the feet that just gives enough light to light up the path that you can see where you're going. And a light to my path. It's not fun living life with things to hide. I know we lived in that for many years while we were still Amish. We would have things that we would rather not know, that we would rather not have others know that we had, or went places where we would rather not know that others found out that we were there. And it was bondage because it was not in the light for all to see. And one thing I really appreciated once we made the step in obedience in what Christ was calling us to walk in is that now we don't have anything that we're ashamed of. We don't have anything that it matters if other people see that we have what we have, but rather an open book for all to read. Thought it was also interesting. I read an article a while back about animals lose their eyesight if they live in total darkness for an extended amount of time because there's no need for the eyes because you can't see anything anyhow. So they tend to lose their eyesight if they live in total darkness. And I guess that was a challenge for myself to think about, what about us? Do we lose our sight when we walk in sin? Our eyesights become dull. We think we're walking in the light when reality is we're walking in darkness and it's deception. So easy it is to fall into that trap. In Genesis 1, God is the creator of life, of light. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light and that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. He called the light day and the darkness he called night. The evening and the morning were the first day. So God created light. And he said, it is very good. Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light and it was good. And then that verse 14, God said, "Let there be lights in the firmaments of the heavens to divide the day from the night. Let there be for signs and for seasons, for days and years. Let them be for light of the firmaments of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmaments of the heavens to give light unto the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw it was good. Again, God created light. And in his eyes, he said, it is good. So may we also see that as well, that light is good. And we'll look at some verses. You don't have to follow along, just quickly read through them. Referring to light, Psalms 56:13, for you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Psalms 89, verse 13 to 17. You have a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Blessed are people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O light. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. In your name they rejoice all the day long, and in your righteousness they are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength, and in your favor your horn is exalted. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. Then Isaiah 2, verse 1 to 5. The word of Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. Many people shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways. We shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not rise, shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall none war anymore. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. An invitation given, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Then Nehemiah 9:12 talks about the fiery pillar that God did when he was leading the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Moreover, thou leddest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in night by a pillar of fire to give them light in the way wherein they should go. Then verse 19, Yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsook them not in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud departed not from them day by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light, the way wherein they should go. So again, God gave the pillar of the cloud, a pillar of light to show them the way that they should go. In Psalms 18:28, For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Psalms 27, The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Again, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, shall come against me, eat up my flesh, they stumble and fail. Though a host shall encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in time of trouble he will hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle will he hide me. He will set me upon a rock, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacles sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou sayest, Seek thee my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsook me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy ways, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of my enemies. Deliver me not over to the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, such as breathe out cruelty. I have fainted, lest I have believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Gives an admonishment to wait on the Lord, and to say that the Lord, to recognize the Lord is where we get our light. The Lord is my light and my salvation. And as long as he is my light and my salvation, whom shall we fear? There's nothing out there that we should fear. For the Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is the strength. Whom shall I be afraid of? And even if the wicked, my enemies, come against us, they stumble and they fell. Even though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear, because the Lord is my light and my salvation, the strength of my life. Psalm 43:1, vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against any ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemies? O send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to the holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then will I go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. Why you cast down my soul? Why you disquiet within me? Hope in God, and I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. So there's a cry in the psalmist's heart. Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Send out your life light and your truth. Let them lead me. So Psalms 44:3. For they went out, for they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did they by their own arm save them, but by thy right hand and thy arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast found a favor in them. In Psalms 56:13, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. So let us walk in the light, as he is in the light. And I want to look at a couple New Testament verses as well. Luke 2:25-32 is when Simeon was at the temple waiting for the consolation of Israel. Luke 2:25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents had brought the child Jesus to do to them according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. The prophecy that Simeon prophesied over Jesus, it says, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Then Luke 8:16 says, no man, when he has lighted a candle, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it upon a candlestick that they which enter in may see the light. Likewise, when we turn on the light switch, we don't put a dark cloth over the light, but we uncover it or make sure it's uncovered so it gives light to us. Luke 11:33, no man, when he has lit lighted a candle, put it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when the eye is single, the whole body is also full of light. But when the eye is evil, the whole body is also full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light that is in thee be not darkness. If the whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, then the whole shall be full of light. So when the bright shining of a candle does give thee light, as when a bright shining of the candle does give thee light. So a warning given to be careful that the light that's within us is not darkness, but rather it is the light. We'll look at John, the Gospel of John. I had read some of that before. Verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of the men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. And the Amplified says, and the light shineth on in the darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it, put it out or absorbed it, because the light overtakes darkness. Then it talks about that John, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for witness, to bear witness of the light, to bear witness of the light, Jesus Christ, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, that lighteth every man that cometh in the world. So Jesus Christ is the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. John 3:19, which Aaron had read some of that. John 3:19-21, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. That is so true. I know in my youth years when I was in sin, you tend to do those things in darkness, under the cover of darkness, instead of in the light where everybody saw you. But the parties and stuff like that tend to happen after dark. Which is so true, that everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So may we walk in the light, and come to the light. Then John 9:5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. John 9:9-10. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Again, the illustration is, as we walk in the light, we stumble not. But if we walk in the night, we stumble, because there's no light in us, because we can't see the obstacles that are in the way. John 12:35-36. And then also 46. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. Then in verse 46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on him should not abide in darkness. I am come a light to the world. Whosoever believeth in that light, Jesus Christ, shall not walk, shall not abide, shall not live in darkness. Then Ephesians 5, verse 8 to 14. I'm going to read that in the Amplified. Verse 8. For once ye were darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Lead the lives of those native born into the light. For the fruit, the effect, the product of the light or the Spirit consists in every form of kindly goodness, uprightness of heart, and trueness of life. And try to learn in your experience what is pleasing to the Lord. Let your lives be constant proof of that which is most acceptable to Him. Take no part in and have no fellowship with the fruitless deeds and enterprise of darkness. But instead, let your lives be so in contrast as to expose, reprove, and convict them. For it is a shame even to speak of or mention the things such people practice in secret. For when anything is exposed or reproved by the light, it is made visible and clear, and everything is visible and clear where there is light. Therefore he says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine, make day dawn upon you, and give you light. For it is a shame even to speak or to mention the things which people practice in secret. But when anything is exposed or reproved by the light, it is made visible and clear. And everything is visible and clear. And where everything is visible and clear, there is light. So maybe walk in that light. Romans 13:11. I'm going to read that in the Amplified as well, 11 through 14. Besides this, you know that a critical hour this is, how it is high time for you now to wake out of sleep, arouse to reality. For salvation, final deliverance, is nearer to us now than what we believe, adhered to, trusted in, and relied in Christ the Messiah. The night is far gone. The day is almost here. Let us then drop, fling away the works and deeds of darkness and put on the full armor of light. Let us drop, fling away the works and deeds of darkness. Verse 13. Let us live and conduct ourselves honorably and becoming as in the open light of day, not in a drunkenness or not in immorality or sensual activity. Not in quarrying and jealously. But close yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and make no provisions for the indulging the flesh. Put a stop to thinking about the evil cravings of your physical nature to gratify its desires and lusts. The night is far spent. That reminds me of, we had stopped in Glenn Eshelman's paintings, which he's the founder of Sight and Sound. And he has a lot of paintings on the life of Christ. But he said, there's one more painting that he wants to do on the life of Christ. And that is, as he was reading through Revelations, he got this vision of two thrones. one throne for God the Father, and one throne for God the Son. And behind the throne was a big golden clock, and the time was 1 minute to midnight. And it said Jesus' throne was empty because he was standing at the edge of the clouds, holding the reins of his white stallion, ready to jump on. It's 1 minute to midnight, and he's ready to jump on to come back. And he said it was so real to him that the time is far spent. The day is at hand. That Jesus Christ is so anxious to come back for his bride that he's not sitting on the throne, but standing at the edge of the clouds, ready to jump on to come for his bride. So with that, I was curious because I also knew that there was a doomsday clock that you can look up on the web. And I know somebody had talked about that in the time of President Bush. The doomsday clock was at 15 minutes to midnight. So I was just curious on what it actually says as the time that we're in. Right, so doomsday clock would more refer to like an atomic meltdown, nuclear war, and those things. And the time on the doomsday clock as of today is 90 seconds to midnight. So a minute and a half to midnight. So we're saying that it's not to put any fear in anybody, but just to recognize that time is at hand. Now is the day of salvation. The time may be coming closer than what we think it is. Verse 11, knowing the time that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation is nearer than what we first believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in drunkenness and lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lust. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:7 again. For if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And then John 8:12. And Jesus spake unto them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So the key is to follow Jesus Christ, to walk with him. Because it says that Jesus is the light of the world. He that follows me, Jesus, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So walking in the light means we consider Jesus as the light in the world. And we walk in that light by following his precepts, living in his power, and growing in his grace. Adrian Rogers says, sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than what you want to pay. The opposite of light is walking in sin. It says, sin will take you further than you want to go, will keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than what you want to pay. It's not worth it. I thought it was interesting. I get the devotional from the utmost to his highest from Oswald Chambers. I'm going to close with that. I'm going to pick a part of it out, then I will read the whole devotional. Oswald Chambers says it this way: if the Spirit of God detects anything in you that is wrong, he doesn't ask for you to make it right. He only asks you to accept the light of truth, and then he will make it right. A child of the light will confess sin instantly and stand completely open before God. But a child of darkness will say, oh, I can explain that. When the light shines and the Spirit puts conviction of sin, be a child of the light, Confess your wrongdoings and God will deal with it. However, if you try to vindicate yourself, you prove yourself to be a child of the darkness. And the title of that devotional is, Am I Carnally Minded? The natural man or unbeliever knows nothing about carnality. The desires of the flesh warring against the spirit and the spirit warring against the flesh, which began at rebirth, are what produce carnality and awareness of it. But Paul said, Walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, James 5:16. In other words, carnality will disappear. Are you quarrelsome or easy to accept over small things? Do you think that no one who is a Christian is ever like that? Paul said they are, and he connected those attitudes with carnality. Is there a truth in the Bible that instantly awaits the spirit of malice or resentment in you? If so, that is proof that you're still carnal. If the process of sanctification is continuing in your life, there will be no trace of that kind of spirit remaining. If the Spirit of God detects anything in you that is wrong, He doesn't ask you to make it right. He only asks you to accept the light of the truth, and He will make it right. A child of the light will confess sin instantly and stand completely open before God. But the child of the darkness will say, Oh, I can explain that. When the light shines and the Spirit brings conviction of sin, be a child of the light, confess your wrongdoings, and God will deal with it. If, however, you try to vindicate yourself, you prove yourself to be the child of the king, I mean, the child of darkness. What is the proof that carnality is gone? Never deceive yourself. When carnality is gone, you will know it. In the most real things you can imagine. And God will see to it that you have a number of opportunities to prove to yourself the miracle of His grace. The proof is in a very practical test. You will find yourself saying, If this had happened before, I would have had the spirit of resentment, and you will never cease to be the most amazed person in the world that God has done for you, what God has done for you on the inside. Just walking in the light. So walk in the light. Just had to think of, we plan to have communion next Sunday. So may we examine ourselves like the scripture teaches us to do. And make sure that we are walking in the light as Jesus Christ is the light in preparation to commune with Him next Sunday. So God bless you all.